still on divided attention. We will finish 10:15 tonight.
The last pasuk in Shir HaShirim tells us a plea that Klal Yisrael has to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Berach doidi u'demelech ol tzvi, oy le'ofer ha'ayalim al harei v'samim." Literally, what the pasuk means is that Klal Yisrael is beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should, our beloved, he should run and end this bitter and funereal galus, and we're asking Kutcha Berichu to be Doime le Tzvi Oyle Oifer Ha'ayolim. He should act like the Tzvi and like an Ayol, so that Al Hore Vesomim we can return to the Har of Spices, which is, of course, Har HaMoiria, the Mokum Be'ezr Hashem of the Bayis Shlishi. We're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to be like a Tzvi and like an Ayol. One thing has to be understood straight away. While this is technically the names of two chayos, two animals, Tzvi and Ayol, a Tzvi and an Ayol are the same exact animal. Look in Parshas Re'eh where it speaks about a Tzvi and an Ayol, and it says four times interchangeably. The only difference perhaps between a Tzvi and an Ayol are the karnayim, the shapes of the horns. But other than that, whether you want to call them in English deer or hart, however you want to refer to them, Tzvi and Ayol, and it's important to realize that for the sake of tonight's shir, are the exact same animal. So apparently we're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam that in order for you to end this galus and return us to Har Bissam and Har Maria, we want you to be like a Tzvi and an Ayol and swiftly take us out of our misery. I thought when I saw this last pasuk in Shir HaShirim, maybe it's conditional. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to act like a Tzvi and an Ayol and swiftly take you out of this galus, then we have to act like a Tzvi and an Ayol. We have to behave like a deer. Mida keneged mida. If the Ribbono Shel Olam sees Klal Yisrael behaving with the character traits of a Tzvi and an Ayol, then he in turn will fulfill the pasuk, Berach doidi udemei lechol etzvi ol'oifer ha'ayolim. I too, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, will be like a swift Tzvi and an Ayol, and return you be'ezras Hashem to Hore b'samim har Maria. That means it behooves, and it's incumbent upon every one of us to act like a Tzvi and an Ayol in order for the Ribbono Shel Olam to give us that bracha in return. Indeed, I have what to base this on, that the only time the Ribbono Shel Olam will take us swiftly to the Gula Shelema as a Tzvi and an Ayol is when we behave like a Tzvi and an Ayol, which means it's our achrayas, and it's incumbent upon us to behave that way. And I have a raya to this, lechura, from a few gemaras. We know in Sefer Daniel, it refers to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz HaTzvi. And there's a gemara in Gittin, as well as a gemara Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. Why is Eretz Yisrael referred to as Eretz HaTzvi, about a deer? So there are a few reasons. One of the most famous reasons given, the Gemara tells us, is because Eretz Yisrael is comparable to a tzvi. If you go ahead and take the skin of a tzvi while it's on the body and encompasses the entire guf, it can cover maybe a 10-foot deer. Take it off and flay it off the meat of the deer, and it shrinks and shrivels to perhaps 2 or 3 feet, to less than 50% of its original size. On the deer, it has the ability to encompass the entire guf. Off the tzvi, it shrinks and shrivels to be a minuscule size. So too, the Gemara tells us it is with the relationship of Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, and we live there, and there's no golus, only geula, Eretz Yisrael expands its marviyah to accompany and to allow all of Klal Yisrael to live there. But Nebuch, Rabbi Niseinu HaRabim, when there's a golus and we're exiled from Eretz Yisrael, then the land shrinks
as does the skin when it's flayed off the body of the tzvi. Hence the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Eretz HaTzvi, because just as the skin of the tzvi expands or contracts whether it's on or off the body, so too when there's a geula and we're in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael opens wide its marviach to allow millions of Klal Yisrael, but through our sins in Golos, and we're not in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael shrinks, as does the skin when it's off the deer. Rabbeisai, that would be wonderful if in Sefer Daniel it referred to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Tzvi. But it doesn't refer to it as Eretz Tzvi. It calls it Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz Tzvi in English means deer land. The land is comparable and compared to a deer. But the minute you throw in the hay and call it Eretz HaTzvi, you're talking about the land of the deer. The implication with the HaTzvi over Tzvi is that it's not referring merely to the land per se, but it's referring to the inhabitants of the land. Yes, in one sense, the land of Israel is Eretz Tzvi, deer land. It contracts and expands like the skin of a deer. But more than that, Daniel tells us, it's called Eretz HaTzvi, the land of the deer, meaning that it's a din and incumbent upon the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael to act like that tzvi. Or else if it was merely a din on the land, he would call it Eretz Tzvi, if it was only a din in the Cheftza. But because it's a din in the Gavra, that those who live in Eretz Yisrael have to act like the tzvi, Daniel tells us it's called Eretz HaTzvi. But Mel, I think we have a raya from the fact it's called Eretz HaTzvi, that the way we opened up with the last pasuk in Shir HaShirim is correct. If we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to behave towards us like a tzvi and an ayal, and swiftly take us out of our misery and bring us to Eretz Yisrael, we must behave like Eretz HaTzvi. We must be like the deer, like the ayal, in order to deserve his bracha in return. So what does it mean to behave like a tzvi and like an ayal? The first thing that comes to mind when you talk about a deer, a tzvi, would be the last Gemara in Machos. The Gemara on the bottom of the last Amud tells us that Habakkuk went ahead and took all of Taryag Mitzvos and established it on one fundamental Yesod. It was a time that there was Niskatnu Hadayrais, and therefore there had to be one principle that encompassed Kol HaTayra Kula. What was, pray tell, that one mitzvah, that one Yesod, that encompassed the entire Torah? Habakkuk tells us, tzadik be'emunasoi yichya, that you have to have emuna. If you don't have implicit faith and trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't have emuna, you're missing Kol HaTayra Kula. And by the way, the raya to this is in the beginning of Es Chanan, when it's talking about the Torah, it says, kol ha-mitzvah hazois. Now, if it's talking about the whole Torah kol, it should say grammatically, kol ha-mitzvois. So why does it say kol ha-mitzvah as if it's singular? Because of this pshat of Habakkuk. It's referring to the mitzvah of tzadik ve'emunasoi yichye. Have emuna in the borei olam. Kol, and that encompasses and incorporates kol taryag mitzvahs, all the asays and all the lois asays. For it is the epicenter and it is the most fundamental yesod of kol ha-tayra kula. Memela, referring to the whole Torah, it says kol ha-mitzvah. Referring to which mitzvah? I'm sure you've realized by now that the first letter of the Rashi Teivos of these three words, tzadik be'emunaso yichya, would make up the word tzvi. Now that's not because it's a nice way to remember emuna. There are other ways to remember faith. Vaistois, the Gemara is telling us that the mahus and the essence of a tzvi is tzadik be'emunaso yichya, not merely a way to remember what tzvi stands for, but a tzvi's very essence. You can learn emuna from a tzvi, from a deer. And by the way, tzvi, tzadik beis yud is begematria 102. Emuna, aleph mem vav nun hey, is also 102. For a tzvi and emuna, they are one and the same. Tzvi and emuna are both 102. Tzadik be'emunaso yichye, a tzvi's very persona is one of faith. How so? How do you see from a tzvi? What characteristic traits does a tzvi have that we're able to say it stands for and represents emuna? What does a tzvi do? So most of you would tell me that the fifth parak in Pirkei Avos tells us that we speak about being like different animals, and when it comes to a tzvi, we'd say, heveirats katzvi, that you should go ahead and run with alacrity and expeditiously like a tzvi. So the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word tzvi, I just told you is tzadik v'emunah so yichya. I just told you tzvi and emunah are both 102, for it is the animal to learn trust and faith in a Kaddish Baruch Hu from. And yet, when we turn to the mission of us in the fifth paragraph, when it talks about a tzvi, it says, heveirats katzvi, run swiftly like a deer. So what is a deer teaching us? How to have a moon in the Ribbono Shel Olam, or to run swiftly? It can't be that Yehuda ben Tema is telling us in the fifth paragraph of Pirkei Avos to run swiftly like a deer, because you don't need me for this newsflash. There are many chayos and many, many animals that run far swifter than a tzvi. A deer by no means, or any stretch of the imagination, is the fastest animal. So if you're teaching me to do mitzvahs with alacrity and zrizus, at least pick an animal that runs very fast. Some type of fast runner in the animal kingdom. Not a tzvi, it's not the fastest runner. Therefore, Yehuda ben Tema by default cannot by definition mean when he says, heveirats katzvi, run like a tzvi in terms of speed. So then what aspect does he mean when he says, run like a tzvi? The Mefarshim tell us, run like a tzvi does not mean in terms of speed. He'd lose the race. Run like a tzvi means something else. All the other animals have many different stages in their walking or running life. At times they walk, at times they jog. At times they run, at times they sprint. At times perhaps they just saunter along. Every animal goes through the different motions during its walking life. There's one exception, the tzvi. The tzvi only knows one motion. If it's not stationary, it's running. The tzvi doesn't walk, it doesn't saunter, it doesn't jog or crawl. If a tzvi is not standing still and stationary, it only knows the motion of running. And that's what our Chachamim mean when we say in the name of Yehuda ben Tema, be rut like a tzvi. Not in terms of speed, for it's not the fastest, but in terms of its consistency and in terms of its frequency. You're right, there are others that faster, but a tzvi doesn't stop running. You think a tzvi doesn't have its own trials and tribulations? You think a tzvi doesn't take knocks wherever in the animal kingdom or in the forest that it lives? A tzvi doesn't have it so easy. And yet, it always bounces back. And it keeps running and running and running. And that's what it means. Learn from the fact that a tzvi never stops running, no matter what life may throw it. No matter what may come its way, it keeps running. That's emuna. That's the gematria of 102. That's what Habakkuk meant, tzadik. Emuna means to keep going and going. And if you're knocked down, get up and keep running. And usually, you know what tzaras make us do? You know what nisyonos make us do? They make us run even faster. Because we want the geula shalema that much quicker. Which would explain another phenomenon of the deer. When a deer runs, most of the time, it's running with its head turned backwards. Usually people understand that to mean it's looking to see if the hunter is chasing and pursuing it. Perhaps what we're saying, Al Pidrush, the reason that the tzvi is always looking backwards is because when you take that rutz, but you turn it backwards, you get tzadik resh, you get tzar. It turns behind and sees its tzar. It knows the issues and tribulations it faced, and then it turns straight away and is rutz. It turns the tsar into rutz. It has the ability to take all the pain and all the tsars, all the anguish, and keep running faster and faster until it has the geula shlema. So a tzvi is indeed the quintessence of tzadik ve'emunaso yichye, by its virtue of always running and bouncing back no matter what comes its way, and by virtue of turning around the letters and seeing the tsar and utilizing the tsar and the nisyonos to become a better animal. A tzvi is emuna. And now something else makes beautiful sense. Many of us have the custom to say Perek Shira each and every day. I myself try to. The koyach of Perek Shira is simply scintillating. Absolutely, Eisei Geveimach. Take a look towards the end of Perek Shira, I believe it's Yom Chamishi, at what the Tzvi says. This Tzvi, who teaches us through its constant running and through turning around and becoming a better animal, you know what the Tzvi says to the Ribbono Shel Olam every day in Perek Shira? A pasuk from Kapitel Nuntes that David HaMelech said, Va'ani Oshir Uzecha, Va'aranein Lapoiker Chazdecha. I will always sing your Shira, and I will always have emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you know how that pasuk ends? Because I know you are always with me, you never leave me, B'yoyim Tsar Li, even on a day that's Tsar. Why the usage of the word Tsar? Because the Tzvi has the ability to take that Tsar, flip it around, have a rut katzvi. And that's why the Tzvi says every day in Perek Shira, what David HaMelech says in Nuntes and Tehillim, V'ani Oshir Uzecha, V'arani Laboiker Chazdecha, V'yoyim Tzar Li. I'll take the Tsar, I'll run faster, I'll do with consistency and frequency, and I therefore want the Geula Shleima that much quicker. So I ask you, Rabbi Isai, in one word, is Tzvi not the greatest animal from whom to learn Emuna, besides the Rashi Tevis and the Gematria? The way it runs, the way it turns Tsar into Ruts, what it says in Perek Shira, it is the paradigm of Emuna. And that's why Daniel tells us in Sefer, Eretz Yisrael is not Eretz Tzvi, that's deer land. Eretz Yisrael has to be Eretz HaTzvi. It has to be the land of the deer, where you inculcate and internalize the lessons of the Tzvi, to have emuna pshuta in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Eretz Tzvi is something we'll only merit when we behave and act like Eretz HaTzvi. It's interesting, on a final note about the Tzvi, take a look at that Gemara at the end of Makos. Who's the one who said that all of Torah, Kol HaMitzvah, is in this one Tzadik Be'emunasa Yechia was Chabakuk? And exactly who was Chabakuk? The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that if you take a look at the Haftarah in Parshas Vayera, perhaps the most well-known story in Navi about the Isha Shunamis. She didn't have children, and yet she provided room and board for Elisha and Gehazi. When asked if she wants to be singled out, she said, no, besoch ami anochi yosheves, don't do it. Gehazi told Elisha she needs a child. He beseeched the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Baruch Hashem, she had a son, and we know what happened. After a while, that son died. She, after preparing herself, goes to Gehazi and goes to Elisha and informs Elisha about the death and demise of the child. Elisha sees the broken Isha Shunamis and he comes back. We know he goes to the attic. Vayiskor hadelos bat shneim. Vayosim piv al piv. Kapov al kapov. Einov al einov. He put his mouth on his mouth, his hands and his palms on the hands and palm of the baby. He closed the door. Vayicham besar hayelad. The child came back to life again. That child, says the Zohar, was Chabakuk. The same Chabakuk who said, Tzadik ve'emunasa yichya. It's all about emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who better to say those words than Chabakuk, whose very mother, the Isha Shunamis, took the news of her son's death. She put him on a bed upstairs, and she was ruts. She took the tsar, and she ran with it. She had emuna in the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in Elisha, that he will beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring her son back to life. There can't be any other way. She took the tsar, she was a ruts, and vayicham b'tsar hayeled, the child came back to life again. Therefore, it is most befitting, says the Zohar, that Chabakuk say, all of Torah is symbolized in Tzadik be'emunasa yichye, for he saw that running from his mother. And that's what a Tzvi is all about. Eretz HaTzvi means we'll be zeicha to the Bayis Shlishi, and to Yerushalayim, and to Sholim the Eretz Yisrael, when it's HaTzvi, when we act like the deer that Chabakuk speaks about, Tzadik be'emunasa yichye. Take whatever nisayon comes your way. Take whatever trial a person has to face and turn the tsar into ruts. Run with it. Use it to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, storm the Aron Kodesh and say, we can't take it anymore. That's emuna. That's what the Tzvi is all about. So what about the Ayol? What can the Ayol teach us? If you take a look in Tehillim by David HaMelech, Kapitel Mem Beis, the first pasuk tells us, Ka'ayol taroig alafike moyim, ke nafshi sarag elecha elikim. Just as an ayol, a deer, behaves by the brook of water, ke nafshi sarag elecha elikim, so too should our soul be in relationship to Hashem. Ka'ayol taroig alafike moyim, ke nafshi sarag elecha elikim. If anybody just heard the first two words of the pasuk, you should be bothered, as many mefarshim are. Ayol is lashon zachar. Ta'aroig is lashon nekeva. Don't mix and match. It's not a grocery store. Which is it? If you mean ta'aroig, it's a female, you should say ayola. And if you mean an ayol, it's a male deer, then say ya'arog, alafike mayim. Either ka'ayola ta'arog or ka'ayol ya'arog. But there's no such entity as ka'ayol ta'arog. That's mixing a male deer, ta'arog, with an expression nekeva. Which is it? Let me tell you two mamari chazal that might help to answer this contradiction. I'll tell you two phenomenal aspects and traits of an ayala, a female deer. Number one, when there's a drought in the forest and all of the animals are literally dying of thirst, they don't have the ability to beseech HaKadosh Baruch on their own behalf. They all go together to the ayala and they ask the female deer, please, you beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you go ahead and ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for our sake that all the animals be provided with thirst, so, with water, so that we can continue to live. That's one Maimer Chazal. When everybody's dying of thirst, we turn to the Ayala and we ask the Ayala to storm the Shari Shemayim and get rain. Now I'll tell you another Chazal. Chazal tell us that when an Ayala is about to give birth and the baby deer is about to come out of her rechem, it is one of the most difficult labors that exist. For the size of the rechem compared to the size of the baby deer just doesn't work. And she would literally die giving birth, as would the baby deer, if a miracle didn't take place. So she davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ayala does, and she asks the Ribbono Shel Olam to put her out of her misery and make her rechem open up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his unbelievable chesed and rachamim, sends a nachash, a snake. The nachash goes to that area of the body and bites it open, enabling the rechem to open wide, and therefore the baby deer can come out. The mother, the female deer, is fine. The baby deer is fine. And shalom al Yisrael. When she's in agony, the koyach of her tefilos are such that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends a nachash to open up the rechem. Rabbi Isai, I ask you a shaila. If we put the two mamari chazal together, we have an issue. What happens if she's about to give birth and she wants to daven and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for her own female issue of being able to have an easy baby deer come out? But simultaneously, at that very moment, all of the chayos come to her and say, hang on a second, forget your problem. We are dying of thirst. Could you please get us a little water? Who does the ayala daven for? Her own female issue? Or does she daven for all the other chayos that are dying of thirst? Chazal tell us, she, in an unbelievable display of selflessness, in an unbelievable display of compassion, puts aside her own issues, and she davens only and exclusively for the other chayos, the other animals, that they should have what to drink and live. My issue, she says, I'll take care of that later. I can live with a little pain. But it's my other animals, the brothers and sisters, that I can't bear to see suffer. And now let's revisit the question of the first pasuk in Mem Beis. We ask the shaila, ka'ayol ta'aroig is a stira. Ayol is a male and ta'aroig is a female. The answer is, you're right. We're talking about a female. We're talking about an ayala. But do you know why it doesn't say ka'ayola ta'aroig? For she transforms herself. A complete metamorphosis, and she makes herself into an ayol, so to speak. And she puts aside her own issues of ayala and says, me? I'll worry about later. Now I want to be like the man, the ayol, and I want to daven for somebody else. So although she's an ayala, she transforms herself, as it were, into an ayol. And hence, David HaMelech says, ka'ayol ta'aroi, just as this female deer puts her own issues aside and davens for someone else, al afike mayim, regarding the brooks of water and beseeching Hashem about mayim to bring an abundance of water to the land, keinafshi saragelecha elikim. So too must our nefesh be. Put aside your own tzarais and do what the Ayala does. Al afike mayim, just like she, when it comes to issues of water, davens for yenim for someone else, and I'll take care of myself later. Keinafshi sarag elecha elikim. That's the way our neshama has to be. Yes, we all have our issues, but worry about somebody else as well, and perhaps first. You don't need me to tell you that. Because in the very first parak of Eicha, when Yirmiyahu is lamenting the Churban Yerushalayim, the Churban of the Batei HaMikdash, when he's speaking about Tisha B'Av, the most lugubrious day in the entire year, Yirmiyahu makes a quote at the end of the first parak, Al eile ani baychia, eini yardu mayim. For this do I cry, and for this do my tears not stop flowing. What's he crying about? What is it that you're crying about, and that make the tears not stop to flow? What is it, Yirmiyahu? What were you referring to? He says, you didn't read the pasuk correctly. Al eile ani baychia. Why am I the only one crying? Where's everybody else? Eini, eini, yardumayim. My eyes can't stop crying. But what about you? That's the Eicha. That's the lamenting of Yirmiyahu about Tishu B'Av. Al eile ani boichia. Why am I the only one who's crying? Where is everybody else? Eini, eini, yardumayim. Why am I the only one shedding tears? Can't we be like the Ayala? Can't we be like the Ayo that has the ability not to think about itself, but to think about someone else first? That's the issue Yirmiyahu had. It can't be al eile ani boichia. It has to be something that we all cry about. Contrast this with the first parak in Rus, when Naomi is bemoaning the death of her two sons, and she turns to her two daughters-in-law, Rus and Arpah, and she says to them, Kitzar li ma'oid mikem. I'm very embittered on account of you. Literally, it means that with the death of her sons, only having daughters-in-law like Rus and Orpah, and being left and bereft of two children, Kimar li ma'oid mikem. I'm embittered because of you. You know what the Vilna Gaon says? Put the comma after the fourth word. Kitzar li, I'm sorry, the pasuk is tzar li. Kitzar li ma'oid. I have tremendous tzar. You know why? Mikem. Because I see you in pain. I see my daughters-in-law, Rus and Arpah, in as much pain as they're in. That's my tzar. Just like the Ayala, Naomi was. My tzar comes from seeing you, B'tzar. Ki tzar li ma'oid, says the Vilna Gaon. I'm in anguish and pain, mikem. Because I'm crying for you. So who are we on Erev Tisha B'Av? Are we like al eile ani boichia? I cry for my own issues, but no one else is crying with me? Yirmiyahu is the only one who is lamenting the Churban Habayis? Or are we like the Ayal and the Ayala, that I'll put aside my own problems and help someone else first? Are we like Naomi, ki tzar li ma'oid, my pain comes mikem, because I see you in so much pain? Before we move on, might I add one note? Many of us might be thinking, people have issues. People have their own peckle of tzaras. I've got to help somebody else first. The first reason you help somebody else first is because we are rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. We are kind, compassionate people. We don't have a cruel bone in our body. That's first and foremost why we help other people, because we are rachmanim and balei chasadim. But I'll let you know on a little secret. I believe it's from Rav David Leibowitz. Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha. There's another reason why it's worthwhile helping other people. Because ultimately it will benefit you yourself. Says Reb David, when every person is created, the Ribbono Shel Olam decided, like it or not, you will come into this world with a peckle of tzaros. A certain quantitative and qualitative amount of tzar. Every person on their own level. Some have it in Tzar Gidol Bonim, and some have it in Shalom Bayis, and some have it in Gezunt, and some have it in Parnassa. We have it in all different arenas and aspects of life. I believe it's Reb David who says That quantity and quality of your pekel of tzoris does not have to be used by you and your family. Because if you help somebody else with their pekel, and you help somebody else in their time of need, ki tzar li ma'oid mikem, like the Ayala does, that comes off your cheshbon. If you use your time to help somebody else with their tzaras and their pekel before your own, the Ribbono Shel Olam will take that off your calculation, thereby diminishing quantitatively and qualitatively how much your pekel originally was. So I ask you, how sweet would that be? So of course the first reason we help people is because we're Rachmanim and Bali Chasadim, but it also has the added benefit that by helping somebody else, even before you help yourself, and not merely al eila ani boichia, but Ezer Hashem, our own pekel of tzaras, will be drastically diminished. This is definitely what the pasuk at the end of Shir HaShirim means when it says, "We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Barach Doidi, Udemeirach Olatzvi Oyla Oifar HaAyolim. Could you please be like a tzvi and an ayol and return us al harei besamim?" To Hara Maria. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, not so quickly. You first behave like Eretz Hatzvi, like the inhabitants of the land. Tzadik Bemunasa Yichya. Not so fast. You first behave like Ka'ayol Taroig, where first and foremost you care about someone else. And you shed a tear for them, and you're Mesameach with them, even before yourself. When we act like a Tzvi and an Ayol, he in turn will act like a Tzvi and an Ayol, and swiftly take us out of this galus. But if one turns a few prokim earlier, in Shir HaShirim, there's another animal, a bird that's spoken about, and I think this bird is the third and final one we have to address tonight. It speaks about a yona, about a dove, yonosi b'chagvei hasela, a dove that's trapped in the cleft of the rock, it's trapped at sea, and it's plotting to be freed. And at that point, the pasuk tells us, "Hashmi'ini es koylech." The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "I will listen to your call." Why? Ki koylech orev, because your voice is orev. Your voice is sweet. So apparently, this yoina bechad le'asela, the dove that's trapped in the clefts of the rock, will be freed. Hashmi'ini es koylech, and Hashem will listen to our call. Ki koylech orev. Because our voice is sweet. Is there another way to understand this pasuk in Shir HaShirim? What does it mean that a yoina is caught? Why a dove? And more than that, what does it mean, Hashmi'ini es koylech, he will listen to our kol? Which kol, pray tell? The Gemara in the beginning of Brachas Abdallah tells us in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was walking b'churvas Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yossi was walking in the Yerushalayim after the Churban Habayis, and Farshteitzach, Rabbi Yossi was crying. And there Rabbi Yossi chanced upon Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi asked Rabbi Yossi, "What is it that you see here walking amongst the smoldering Yerushalayim?" And Rabbi Yossi said, "There's a baskol that came down from Shemayim, and the baskol says that every single day the Ribbono Shel Olam cries and laments the Churban Habayis. Every single day the Ribbono Shel Olam cries Shchinta Bigilusa, that its Shchina is in Golos." And then the Gemara says, this baskol that came down every day lamenting the Churban Batei HaMikdash came down, are you surprised? As a yona, as a dove. The Maral asks in Netzach, now, what in the world does it make a difference how the baskol came down? A yona, a dove, let it come down like any other animal. Why does it have to be specifically a dove, a yona? Does it make a difference? That's what the Maral asks. I think we could answer the following terrors. We know the Torah tells us that there are two birds, a dove and a raven. A dove can be eaten. A raven cannot be eaten. Why? What's the reason that you could eat a yona, but an orev you can't? So the Mefarshim tell us the following. Because in the beginning of Bria Sa'olam, when it was the times of the Mabul, when it was the times of the flood, and then finally the mabul subsided, at that point, Noach needed to do a shlichus. He had to send out a messenger and see if indeed the water subsided and abated, and is it safe for my family to now go out? The first animal that he sends is the orev, the raven. The orev performed its shlichus miserably. The raven is selfish. The raven is the epitome of the cruelest animal. And it's for that reason that an orev can't be eaten. Why not? Because when that orev was sent out of the teva, instead of worrying like the ayol does about everybody else, instead of worrying like Naomi did, Mikem, about you, what does the raven do? It runs and searches for carcasses floating on the top of the water. It finds a carcass, it gluttonously devours it. It finds another carcass, it gluttonously eats it. It's first interested in satisfying itself, its own self-aggrandizement. But Mela, such an animal is treif. That mahus in essence is treif to our very being. And that shlichus of the orev, the raven, failed miserably. For it is a self-centered, selfish animal. Contrast that with the next animal he sends out, Noach does. He sends out a yonah, a dove. You think the yonah, the dove, was any less hungry than the orev, the raven? It was equally as hungry. And yet, what does it do? It passes the same carcasses and the same dead bodies floating on the water, and it said, I'm on a mission. I will not stop to go ahead for my own self-aggrandizement and fill my own stomach. I'm going to first do what my master Noach and his family desired. And it flew until it found an olive leaf. And when it found the olive leaf, the Yonah very dutifully brought it back to Noach, forgot its own problems, like the Ayala, like Naomi, and said, as hungry as I was, here is the news you were so desperately waiting for. Here's a dry olive leaf. I bring you Besuras Toivais. I bring you good tidings. That's the essence of a Yid. Don't take care of yourself first. Take care of someone else first. That's kosher. An orev, and its mahalich is treif. Indeed, the Yonah, the dove, is a very respected animal, because years later in the times of Lag BaOmer, when the Tana Elokoi, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and his son Reb Elazar were in the cave for 12 years because of fear of their life from the Romans. At one point, miles away, all of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's chaverim were sitting, and they started their own eicha, as it were. We have so many shailas in the Gemara. Where is the Tana Elokoi, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, hiding? He can answer these shailas. No one else can. And they mamish started to cry, we need these shailas hatayra answered. And at that moment, a dove, a Yonah, comes. And the Yonah was the only animal that knew the hiding cave of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Reb Elazar. And the Yonah tells the chaverim, I'll bring your shailas to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And indeed, just like in the times of Noach, very dutifully, the Yonah takes the shailas in its mouth, flies to the cave, and hands them to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai reads them, he starts to cry, he realizes chaverim miss him, he answers all the shailas, and he sends it back with the Yonah. When the Yonah returns, all the chaverim start simultaneously to cry and to laugh. They miss Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Reb Elazar, but simultaneously they realize they're still alive. And again, which animal brought the Besurais Toivais? Which animal for the second time brought the good tidings? It was the trusted and faithful, the kind-hearted and compassionate Yonah, the dove. It was successful in its shlichus by Noach, and it was successful in its shlichus in the times of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And now we ask two questions. Number one, why does the Bas Kol have to come down every day and lament the Churban in the shape of a Yonah, a dove? And we also wanted to know, what does it mean that there's a Yonah b'chagvei hasela caught in the clefts of the rock? And only hashmi'ini es koylech, when Hashem hears our voice, ki koylech orev, because we have a sweet voice, will he free us? What's going on over here? I think the message is very simple. The Bas Kol that laments the destruction of the Bati HaMikdash has to come down like a Yonah. For the Yonah is the very representative of being a good shliach, a Yoina was successful in times of Noach, and a Yoina was successful in times of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. A Yoina only knows one thing. I don't care about myself. What can I do for Klal Yisrael? A Yoina realizes I act like Naomi. A Yoina realizes I act like a Tzvi and an Ayol. It is therefore that very Yoina. We know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, and it will only be rebuilt al Yedei Avas Chinam. The Yoina says, I'm waiting. The Yoina is the Vaskol every day because the Yoina says, until we get it, and until we act like that Dove and that Yoina, I will every day be a Vaskol that says, the Ribbono Shel Olam cries over Shechinta B'Yelusa, over the fact that the Shechina is in the Golos, and therefore I believe that answers the Maral's question. The Vaskol must specifically be a Yoina, for it is the Yoina that is totally selfless, totally filled with a good heart and compassion, and until we behave like the Yoina, that Vaskol is going to keep coming down. You know which Yoina it is? Yoinasi B'Chegvei Hasela. It's that Yoina that's caught in the clefts of the rock and is hovering over the sea. And Rabbi Say, believe me, it's dying to free itself from the rock and from the sea. But it can't, because we haven't learned that lesson of the Yoina yet. And that's the way I'd like to read the next part of the Pasuk. Hashmi'ini es koilech. I'll listen to which coal? To the bas coal. To that coal, that bas coal that comes down as a Yoina. I, the Yoina, I'm Bechagve Hasela. I'm trapped in the rock. And I will only be freed, Hashmiini, as Koilech, when you learn the lesson of that coal, that voice. Which one? The bas coal. And then it says, Ki Koilech Orev. Ki doesn't mean because. Ki many places in Tanakh means when. Ki Koilech Orev. When your voice is sweet. If our voice is orev, if it's sweet, if we use our words to build and not to burn, if we use our words of warmth and compassion like the Yoina, like the Tzvi, like the Ayol, like Naomi, then Hashmi'ini es koilech, then that bas kol will be listened to, ki koilech orev, when and only when our voice is sweet. No. It's interesting to note that in these last words, Hashmi'ini es koilech, I'll listen to the baskol of the orev, ki koilech orev, when the voice is sweet. Notice the word orev, sweet, and the word orev, raven, that's treif, are virtually the same letters with the same vowels, because it's up to you. If it's orev and it's sweet, then it's the baskol of the yoina. But if it's not orev, then it's orev. It's the raven. The raven is treif. The raven is gluttonous. The raven is self-centered. It's either orev or orev. It's either the sweetness of the baskol of the yoina or the gluttonous self-centeredness of the raven. I think that's why the baskol comes down every day as a yoina to remind us of this lesson. And I think that it's that yoina that's still hovering over the water, waiting to be freed. And it will happen. Hashmi'ini es koilech. That baskol will be listened to, ki koilech orev, when the voice is sweet and you use it to take care of someone else's pekel before your own. How wonderful would it be if the same Yoina that so magnificently performed at Shlichus in the times of Noach and so magnificently performed at Shlichus in the times of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai made a chazakah and for the third and final time performed at Shlichus, left the clefts of the rock and the water, no longer as a baskal, but rather came and said, I'm sending you Eliyahu and Mashiach and the third Beis HaMikdash. Clearly, it's in our hands. It can't be al eile ani boichia. I only care about myself. The Yoina teaches us to think about someone else. The Ayol teaches us to take care of someone else's problem even before its own. And the upshot of this all is the Tzvi, Tzadik be'emunaso yichye. It only happens with emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in conclusion, is there any time that is more misugal and more apt to learning the lessons of the Yoina, the Tzvi, and the Ayol? And by the way, it should be noted that the Rashi Tavos of these three animals, Yoina, Tzvi, and Ayol, Yud Tzadik Aleph, spell the word Yotza and Yetze, to go out. You want to be a Yotze, You want to be a yetzei to go out of this galus? There's one way. Remember Yud Tzadik Aleph, Yoina Tzvi and Ayol. Moirai v'rabayisai, there is no time that is more mesugal and apt than now. Bein ha-mitzarim, between the straits of Shivaser B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. In the beginning of Eicha, it says, Kol reitfeha hisigua bein ha-mitzarim. The literal translation is, Kol reitfeha, whoever seeks and chases Tzion and Yerushalayim, Nebach, hisigua, will overtake it and will capture it when? Bein ha-mitzarim, between Shivasar and between Tisha B'Av. Kol reitfeha hisigua bein ha-mitzarim. The measure to mag is a chusi yogan aleinu, says a different shot. It has a positive twist. Be optimistic. It's not talking about pursuing and chasing Yerushalayim. It's talking about being mevakesh and seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol reitfeha. Anyone who seeks genuinely, anyone who is genuinely mevakesh to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hisigua. You know when you'll overcome him? You know when you'll capture him, so to speak, and find him? Bein ha-mitzarim. Between Shivasar and Tisha B'Av. Now's the time, says the Mezhet Zemagid. Kol reitfeha. If you're being mevakish to Ribbono Shel Olam through the lessons of the Yoina, the Tzvi, and the Ayol, hisigua, you'll find it now. You'll find the Ribbono Shel Olam now. We're this close. Bein ha-mitzarim. Between the straits. Bein ha-mitzarim is not, as people think, 21 days. That's 3 weeks. If you count day number one as Shivaser B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av is day number 22. There are 22 days in Bein HaMitzarim. 22 days in Bein HaMitzarim. We have 22 days to seek the Ribbono Shel Olam and overtake him, and time's running out. Says the B'nai Yisoschar Zechusu Yogan Aleinu, Hafla vefela oisege veinloch, awesome sheba awesome. Says the B'nai Yisoschar, of these 22 days, 18 of them are regular Yemei Chol, Sundays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Wednesdays. 4 of them are Yemei Kodesh, the 3 Shabbosos that are found in the 3 weeks, the Shalosh Deferenusa, and one day, Rosh Chodesh. 18 days of Chol, 4 days of Kodesh, make up 22 days of Bein HaMitzarim. 18 is Yud and Ches. 4 is Dalet. We need a little uniting. How do you bring Toiv and Ne'imus, goodness and pleasantness, to the world? Sheves Achim. By getting along with each other. Gam Yochad. You can take the Yud, the Ches, and the Dalet, the Yud and Ches representing the 18 Yemei Chol, and the Dalet representing the 4 days of Kodesh, 3 Shabbosos and 1 Rosh Chodesh, and Gam Yochad, you can be Mahapech those 22 days to a Tisha B'Av that is Korah Alai Moyed, a day of rejoicing. Hine Matoivu Manoyim, Sheves Achim, Gam Yochad. Through Sheves Achim, through getting along and learning the lessons of the Yoina, the Tzri, and the Ayol, we will merit Gam Yochad, that those 22 days of Bein HaMitzarim, Hisigua, we found you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe that's what Yaakov means when he's giving a bracha to his grandchildren. Ephraim and Menashe, says the Bnei Yisoschar, we know every Friday night that at the very least, Erev Yom Kippur, we give our kindalach a bracha, Yisimcha Elokim k'Ephraim uchim Menashe. And there, Yaakov tells his Einaklach, Becha Yevorech Yisrael, through you will Klal Yisrael be gebenched, says the Bnei Yisoschar. Becha! Beis Chof is 22. Becha, those 22 days of Bein HaMitzarim from and including Tisha B'Av, Yevorech Yisrael, can become days of blessings for Klal Yisrael if Sheves Achim Gam Yochad. And that's why it says, Vayhi Bishur Melch B'Saseif Rosh Hayom Yachad. Yud Ches for the 18 weekdays and Dalet for the 4 holy days. Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. When we learn the lessons of the Yoina, the Tzvi, and the Ayol, that's when we'll merit Becha, that the 22 days of this most miserable time, Yevorech Yisrael, will be turned into a bracha. So I conclude with a bracha for each and every one of us.
the very beginning of Kapitel Chof Beis, David HaMelech says, Lamnatzeach al Ayeles HaShachar. What does Ayeles HaShachar mean? Ayeles HaShachar, maybe it means a musical instrument. Maybe it means the morning star. The Vilna Gaon says, Ayeles HaShachar was a kapitel that was composed right when dawn begins. Do you know the darkest time of the day and night? It's not the day when we have the sun to guide us, nor is it the night when we technically have the moon and the stars to illuminate the horizon. What is the darkest, most devastating time of the day and night when the sun is not yet out and the moon and stars have already gone away? That's right before dawn breaks. There's no moon and stars to guide us. There's no sun to guide us. It's desperation and desolation. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says the word shachar means morning. And how do you say blackness and darkness? Shachor. Shachor and shachar are really one and the same. They're only separated by a millisecond. Shachor, the darkness of night, becomes shachar, a brilliant sun. That's when David HaMelech composed this kapitel, Lamnatzeach al Hayeles HaShachar. I wait for the shachar, the darkness of night, to become Hayeles HaShachar, the first ray of the morning star. Rabbi Yisai, right now in Ikvus of the Mashiach, we're holding by the shachar, the darkness. We are so very close to Ayeles HaShachar. And the next pasuk tells us all you need to know. David HaMelech turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. Ribbono Shel Olam, why did you forsake us? This is shachar. I can't even see the Ayeles HaShachar. Why have you forsaken us? Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. And the Mefarshim tell us magnificently. Chazal tell us that right now at the end of Golos, there are two ways to describe how we feel. We are Rosh and we are Moch. Rosh, Resh, Shin, Kedalim, Chroshim. We're broken and despondent. Moch, Memcha, V'chiyomuch, Achicha. Again, desperation and poorness. Right now, there's only one way to describe our state of affairs. Rosh and Moch. Resh, Shin, and Memcha. It's a bad situation. But there will be a day when the shachar turns to shachar. There will be a day when we see that first ray of the morning star, and then we will be transformed into a nation known as Yisrael, and we'll hear the coming of Mashiach and Eliyahu and the rebuilding of the third base of Middash through an angel known as Michael. Yisrael will hear good news, Besurois Toivois, once again, from the angel Michael. I ask you a question. If you take Yisrael, what we seek to become, and remove three letters, the Aleph, Lamed, and Yud, the first Keli, you know what you're left with? Reshin, desperation and brokenness. If you take the name Michael, the angel we're waiting to appear, and again you remove the next Aleph, Lamed, and Yud, the next Keli, you know what Michael's left with? Two letters, Mem and Chof, brokenness and desperation. Yisrael, by removing the Aleph, Lamed, and Yud, becomes Rosh. Michael, by removing an Aleph, Lamed, and Yud, becomes Moch. And that's what David HaMelech means. This is too much shachar. We can't take it. I'm waiting for Ayeles HaShachar. It's this Tishu B'Av that it behooves us to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. Why have you taken Yisrael and made it into Rosh? Why have you taken Michal and made it into Moch? It's too difficult. And Be'ezr Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will hear, not al eila ani boichia, but al elu anu boichim. This is what we're all crying about. We have the moon of the tzvi. We look at our tzoros and we become better people. We have the ability to help someone else before ourselves, as does the Yoina and as does the Ayol, the Ezras Hashem. The same way the Yoina brought Besuros Toivos in the times of Noach, and again in the times of the Tana L'Koy Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, let that same Yoina, this Tisha B'Av, be freed B'chagvei HaSela from the clefts of the rock. Let him no longer hover over the sea. Let that Baskol start singing a different tune with the coming of Eliyahu and Mashiach. Will be called Yisrael, Ayyadei the Malach Michael. The Tfil of Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani will be answered. Rosh and Moch will be restored to their original way.
and that final yoina will once again make the chazaka and bring us to the surahs taivais of the rebuilding of the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash.